Earlier, I mentioned the impact of Mike Durall's visit and how many of us have reconnected and recommitted ourselves to our faith. One of the joys that I have experienced in this pledge drive and planning for it has been the opportunity to hear many of you come tell me about your heartfelt feelings of the church and our faith. And in these times of increasing resistance to tolerance, it's heartening to know that our faith is in very good hands, very good souls. One of our long-term members, Ellen Fisher, has agreed to come and to share her feelings with us here today.
Yes, I agreed to come and share my feelings, but I didn't know I was going to have to follow that act. I offered to share my thoughts about pledging this year because my thinking has changed significantly since last year. This isn't easy, but I thought it might be helpful. This was not our first church. Before moving to Nashua in the mid-80s, Burns and I had been involved with another congregation, a very different church, a smaller congregation with almost no endowment at all. The annual pledge drive in that church was truly about survival of programs and of buildings. Several times, vital structural repairs to the church building had to be postponed. Things got patched up rather than truly repaired because we simply couldn't afford it. For several winters, we moved our Sunday services out of the beautiful sanctuary into the parish house, and we sat on folding chairs because we couldn't afford the heat. Burns and I dug deep when we pledged to that church, but we did it mostly because we wanted to. We wanted that church to stay there for us. So eventually, we had to leave that town and we moved to Nashua and started attending here. As newcomers, we began pledging cautiously at a level well below what we had been giving to our previous church. The 18 years that we have been members here has been long enough for me to see financial matters ebb and flow, decisions made and changed, and not a small number of financial crises have come up that were considered and dealt with at annual meeting, usually by voting to use money from the endowment to make up for a shortfall. Since we became members here, I have been under the impression that as a group, we were not contributing at the same rate as many other congregations. Conventional wisdom was, I thought, that because of our endowment, the membership felt, and this is just the conventional wisdom, if the church has a nice endowment, the membership would never give generously. I've been uneasy with that conventional wisdom, but I have to admit, fatalistic, too. At least by my actions, I accepted it. We certainly were not giving what we had given to our previous church, despite inflation and a growing income. It has only been in the past few years that we reached the pledge level we were giving to our previous church back in 1985. I'm not proud of that. At the time of the annual meeting last June, I thought we were having another in this series of crises. Despite the satisfaction I heard and felt that evening about eliminating our outreach giving and the promises we made to each other to study the problem and to do things differently in the future, I was afraid that the indignation would quiet down over the summer and maybe even that we would hear nothing more about it once the church year began in September. Forgive me, Executive Board and Fundraising Committee, for I underestimated you, and I'm very glad that I was wrong. Meanwhile, and this is the background, over last summer, Burns and I started thinking seriously about the idea of moving, not away from the area or away from this church, but just out of the city. We began looking around and talking a lot about what we would each want in a new house. We made lists of what is important to us, not just about a home either, but about every aspect of our lives. When we came back to church after the summer, I did see that this time the financial issues had not gone away. I knew something different was happening when I heard Sarah Wickhue's Why I Value This Church, which she gave at one of the first church services we had in September. I was stunned by her courageous and open statement that she thought her family had gotten a little lazy about their pledge over the years and that they were going to double it. I thought, wow, that's us too. We're lazy. Sarah dared to break our cultural taboo about talking about money, and she was upbeat and positive in saying that she could afford to give more. Wow, that got my attention, and I wanted to know more about why this time was different. So I decided to read one of Michael Dural's books. It had been announced in the newsletter that a number of his books were available for members of the congregation to read, so I picked one up. The book I read is Beyond the Collection Plate. It is about attitudes about money in different kinds of churches and how the activities of a church influence its financial health. Dural wasn't writing about how to decide what kind of house to move to. But the fact that Burns and I have been putting so much energy into evaluating our living situation made some of his points jump out. He says, this book is about money in church, but the real issue is how we lead our lives. He points out that decisions about the church part of each of our lives shouldn't be separate from the other parts, that our spiritual lives can inform the whole. Well, I knew that, but I hadn't been thinking about it. After reading the book, I wanted to think about it. There's a lot more to Dural's book than I have time to mention. As I read, I got an image of many possibilities for this church. I love this church now, but I want us to be more than we are, more effective and more active than we are. A line from a hymn that I couldn't quite remember had been flitting in and out of my mind since I've been thinking about speaking today. With the help of Art Rubiner and his organist friend, Linwood Payne, I finally managed to pin it down. It's from an old version of a hymn, of our hymn book, and in a hymn titled, These Things Shall Be. The line that I couldn't seem to get quite into or out of my mind was, they shall be simple in their homes, but splendid in their public ways. The pledge we, the Fishers, are making this year is different, and the pledge we as a congregation are making is different too. And it is to that splendid church each of us hope and believe that we can become together. A church that can make a difference in our lives and in our community. So yes, Burns and I have doubled our place.